Welcome to Module 6, part 2 of our assertive communication work. In Module 5, we defined what assertive communication is, what makes it hard, and worked to identify both our default communication styles and how to make the pivot to more assertive communication practices. You've been implementing some of these skills in your communication with others and starting to test out these practices. Now, much of this leans on and into the work that we did in phase 5, modules 1 through 4, and phase 4, considering our mindset, shifting from reacting to responding, and practicing distress tolerance and radical acceptance. In this module, we're going to focus on physical space and presence. How can you show up in and with your body assertively? How can you allow your body to communicate for you? Much of this is going to rely on the work that you started in Module 3 and deepening your relationship with your body. We'll break down the work into three parts: establishing an assertive presence, setting up an environment to support your goals, and creating an assertive action plan. First, let's think about the idea of an assertive presence. So what do I mean by this? We know that your body is a feedback system to your mental and emotional self and with the people that you interact with. As such, how you carry yourself will affect how you think and feel about yourself in a given situation. Like speaking, our physical presence can be passive, passive-aggressive, aggressive, or assertive. Your worksheet will include physical presentations for each of these four types of communication, allowing you to consider your own presentation style. How do you change your body language in times of stress, conflict, fear? Conversely, how does your body take up space when you feel happy, confident, or at peace? You'll reflect on different scenarios and consider your body's natural response. So for example, in times of conflict and stress, I tend to become passive. I try to make myself as small as possible. I hunch my shoulders forward. I bring my knees in towards my chest and I try to cover up my midsection. Anyone else the person who grabs a pillow or sweatshirt to put on your lap when you feel scared or stressed? These actions create a feedback loop in my mind that I'm not safe. I need to take up as little space as possible, trying to become invisible in the process of getting past the stressful situation as quickly as I can. What does your body do when you're angry? Consider when you're on the phone with yet another customer service agent trying to get something solved that should have been a 5-minute phone call and instead has turned into 2 hours of transfers, repeated conversations, and zero movement. Yes, this is a real life example. And for me, I often take a more aggressive position even though I'm working on that assertive space. I get animated, I can use more hand gestures, I raise the volume in my voice, I peacock a little bit. There's this kind of air of, you don't want to know who you're messing with, that starts to show up in how I take up space. Getting to know your body's natural response to these different types of situations is super helpful to give us a starting point for shifting to more assertive positions. So what would it look like to carry yourself more assertively in those two different moments? Can you shift the way you stand, the tension in your body, or the ferocity as you move your body or gesture? Can you create an open, firm position while not allowing yourself to cave inward or overextend into other space? Recall from the last module that assertive communication is about making space to feel seen, safe, and heard for both you and for other people. So the goal is to create a sense of rooting in yourself while giving space to those around you. You can begin to focus on physical assertiveness in those times of conflict or boundary setting, which we'll discuss a little bit more in the following two modules, and during everyday movements. Can you check your posture, even as you're sitting here right now, and see how you might be able to be more open or less shut down, or generate more energy instead of kind of finding yourself shutting your body's space and closure off? When you walk into the grocery store, how can you carry yourself? I work on this a lot when I have to do things like get a vaccine, which typically causes me a lot of anxiety. Changing how I walk into the room allows me to shed some of the fear bursting at the seams trying to get out and consumes me in that sort of head-to-toe panic about the needle coming my way if I don't stop it and kind of move my body in a different direction. Now, step 2 of this worksheet will focus on your physical space. How are you designing the areas where you spend the most time to optimize your functioning? Is your charger beside your bed or across the room? What effect does that design have on your life? How are you designing a life and working space to support you in your goals? So for example, the first 2 years of the pandemic, Jordan's desk was downstairs in the main floor of our apartment, which is basically an open room that serves as the living room, kitchen, dining room, and Everly's play area. He'd be trying to get work done, attend a meeting or conference or studying for an exam while he was like 4.7 inches away from his daughter, who was constantly wanting to play and be with him. How did that design help him to be able to focus on either role, dad or doctor? It didn't. It charged him with multitasking, straddling two critical roles, and feeling like he wasn't engaging meaningfully in either. Moving his desk to our bedroom, although not ideal, especially as both of our desk spaces are now in our bedroom, has dramatically changed how he can engage in his work. And to help with the cognitive task switch from living to working, we bought screens to help reinforce that there's a place for work, and then there's a place for sleep. Now, I want to note here that the goal is to think about design in much greater detail in all aspects of our lives, particularly in how we see and create spaces. I work with people on body-inclusive design to create spaces so all body sizes can freely fit in and move through the space. This might include weight or height, might consider other aspects of ability and movement as well. Be mindful when you're asked to work or move through spaces that are not designed for you or others to thrive, and when you can, use your voice to speak up about this or propose and implement solutions in this process. Now, for the context of this work, we're going to focus specifically on spaces in which you have control over their design. So your home space, maybe your more specific workspace, your car, other settings that you can manage. In your worksheet, you're going to go through your roles and goals and consider the impact of design on your commitment to the work, openness to engage, and feeling of physical and psychological safety. What needs to change by way of layout and design? What do you need to get rid of or add in to support you in this? Now, I will say when we're talking about adding anything in, as a minimalist, I want to encourage you to try to repurpose when you can or shop within your home. Meaning, try not to just buy more stuff to buy more stuff. You can also join a local Buy Nothing group to help you find things that are no longer working from others so that you can give them a new home in your life and optimize your design. We'll also consider tech spaces, including your phone setup and layout, computers, and more. So an example is that I had to move my email app from the front page of my phone because it was too accessible. Otherwise, I was constantly checking it and not engaging in the process. I wasn't in control. I wasn't assertive. I was passive and giving my power to the phone. Now, finally, we'll make our way to step three, creating our assertive action plan. Now that you've begun to think about what assertive positioning can look like as you move through the world and have changed the design and setup of your space to allow this, let's consider your daily action plan for moving through the world. This is where we call upon the power of systems, habits, and rituals. How can you design your daily life system to optimize your intentions, goals, and values? What's your morning routine, evening routine? What strategies can you set up to ease your access to more challenging things, such as generating motivation or buy-in for how to work out? How can you create transition plans to help make the switch from different roles easier? What steps can you take when you're triggered by stressful situations or events like you considered in step one or back in module five? How do you want to build systems around food, movement, hygiene? Connect this back to the work you began to do in module three and what you're learning about how your body is communicating with you so that we can design systems to optimize that feedback loop between our brain and our body. So let's add in the layers of your roles and goals here. How can we engage with each task or layer of self assertively? A key thing I think about here is the connection to what we say and what we do. We'll explore this a bit in terms of our boundary setting in the upcoming modules, but one of the biggest things we can think about is how we can communicate without saying anything. How can your behaviors share with the world around you and reinforce the feedback loop with yourself that you deserve to take up space and that it's not going to stop you from making space for anyone else? It's just about shifting away from constantly taking responsibility for everything and everyone else. Your worksheet is going to have you walk through steps to define the following: a morning and evening routine, food, movement, and hygiene routines and practices, transition and balance plans to ebb and flow in different roles and settings, and how to present yourself in times of uncertainty, change, and distress. You'll then begin your implementation process. At the end of the worksheet, you'll find some reflection areas to come back and to journal about how making these changes supports your goals. Lay out where you're getting stuck or what feels hard, and move through and celebrate successes as you make these changes. Now, as you go through the process, you'll find new insights that are going to pop up along the way or edits that need to be made to what we've already done. Remember flexible grace in a relentless pursuit. And also, remind yourself that this, again, is iterative. We're not going to suddenly change every behavior in one night. Hence, this program isn't called Set Yourself Up for Shame or New Year's Resolutions, Shame in Sheep's Clothing. This takes time. Pick one thing, perhaps how you sit when you meet for your weekly one-on-one with your boss, or the structure of your morning routine. It might even be setting up sleep settings on your phone so it goes on Do Not Disturb or cuts off access to apps that you don't want to be able to use when it's bedtime. Focus on these 1% to 3% changes like we've done in other modules and start to build that momentum along the way, adding in the next 1% to 3% as we go. And of course, share with us in the discussion forum what comes up for you, what you learn or tools and insights you can share and or the ways we can support you. And when you're ready, I will see you back here for Module 7.